Welcome back to the Sucks Podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I am Dave.
And with us, as always, is producer Joe.
Not the producer.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
You will be. You will be.
He already is. He just doesn't know it yet. This is a podcast where we talk about design and all the invisible ways that user experience design impacts us every day as people, as a society. And we are lovers, not experts.
Sweet, sweet lovers.
Sweet, sweet lovers of UX design. We started this podcast as a way to start to better understand why things were made that they are and where they might have gone off the rails. What we talk about might be digital design, but this is not a technical podcast, and we are barely technical people. It's amazing that we've gotten this far into even recording a podcast. We'll talk about all the sorts of things that go beyond digital into real-world product design, maybe even some natural design as well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Glad to be here.
Doing swell. Bright and early on a Sunday morning, as always. I like the pajamas, Brad. The silk pajamas. As I said, what you should all know, you can't see. We don't have a YouTube channel yet, but we will. Is Brad always wears his sweetest pajamas? He's got he always has a dope watch. Mm-hmm. It's more expensive than my wardrobe. Perfect hair. Uncle Joe, on the other hand, is, you know, he goes dark a lot. He's audio. We don't know where he is. but he's a great guy.
Again, not the producer.
Yeah, not with. Producer
Don't
Joe.
Don't sell yourself Uncle short, Joe. You are a great producer of this podcast.
Joe, there he goes again. Work.
Thank you.
Joe has been, he's always the brains behind things. So it was very shocking that he didn't want to produce the shit out of this show.
Yeah. Well, Joe is the brains and the heart. And Dave, you're the talent and I'm the hair.
He is the hair. All right. So anyway, let's jump into the news. Huh?
What's going on?
A lot out there. Let's see. Let's talk all things Jack. Here's Jack.
Jack. All right, let's talk about some Jack.
We're going to have to get real voice actors to do these impersonations.
So who's Jack and what's going on with Jack?
Jack is from Twitter. And, you know, Dorsey, Jack Dorsey, of course.
Ah, Jack Dorsey.
And, you know, all I know, Brad, you probably know more than me. This is your news item. It just popped up in the news. He's leaving Twitter. Taken off. Taking his beard and his salt juice and his 5-mile walks.
He's not just doing like the normal, like, I'm just going to take a seat on the board. Like, he's gone.
He's probably remaining on the board. I'm not really positive on that, but there is some weirdness going on here. So Jack Dorsey is one of the founders or the founder of Twitter. He wasn't the original CEO, but he became the CEO, and it's been a little controversial for a couple of reasons. He's a part-time CEO, as my mentor Scott Galloway would say. He's a part-time CEO, which doesn't really work for a company at the scale of Twitter. He's not really apparently interested in Twitter.
Twitter's a big company.
It's a big company, and they probably deserve a full-time CEO. He's more interested, I think, in their other platforms, payment platforms. Square, I think, is theirs.
Right, which is changing the name, right? What's it called?
I don't know.
I think it's Block. Go with this whole crypto. He's obsessed with the crypto.
Sure. We're all obsessed with the crypto.
Payment stuff did well. Isn't that where Elon got his start? PayPal?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody forgets to mention that. They're like, that's Tesla. Made his first billions,
Oh, by the way, PayPal, about user experience, we should do an episode on that because I use PayPal every day and it's gotten awful. I don't know what's going on with PayPal.
No, we'll get there.
Anyway, let's not go down that rabbit hole right now because that's a whole topic.
Quick note, because they own Venmo, they're probably phasing one out for the other. We could talk about it later.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was the shortest that Uncle Joe has done on an aside. And one of the things you'll see on this pod is Uncle Joe is very thoughtful. And he'll talk the shit out of things, and we'll have to cut him off sometimes.
Well,
but it didn't happen. That was your first opportunity, Uncle Joe.
I mean, how many episodes have we done so far? This is like
this is our 105th.
God, it feels like
it really hit its mark at the 46th episode.
I see what you did there.
So,
all right. So back to Twitter. Back to Twitter
podcast.
So what's interesting about this is that. There's something else going on here, This happened really quickly after a long amount of time. Like, this should have happened years ago, but it happened really suddenly this week with very little explanation. So there's more to the story that we're going to uncover here. Who knows exactly what it is? But what is true is that the Twitter stock price has remained constant this entire time, meaning that since it IPO'd, it has not gone up. That's a from a shareholder perspective, that's a big problem.
From the beginning of time, from the beginning of Twitter time, not since he was announced.
It launched at IPO at whatever price it was, and that's the price it was this week as well.
It's, it's a known entity. What's wrong with that? Everybody want growth, 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 growth.
All right, you commie, go back to Russia. So that's it. You know, I think why this is very interesting from our perspective is Twitter as a platform.
Yeah.
You know, and how that relates to user experience.
And we'll get to that.
Well, let's get into it a little bit now. I don't use Twitter because I think that it's poison. Dave, you're an active Twitter user.
I am an active Twitter user. Well, not as much now that we're out of the Armageddon, but I do.
It's cute
I do
that you
use
think
it. Well, that we're have a temporary pause from the Armageddon. I use it mostly as a news aggregator, right? So what I like to do and what I think it's important and powerful for is it allows you access to leaders of industry. It allows you –
And Flavor Flav.
Yeah, and Flavor Flav. Hey, you know what? It's a great connector to your media icons, your you know, whoever you're a fan of. But, you know, I follow – volcanologists, whatever they is that the right
volcanologists?
Volcanologists? No, I think that's a Spock thing.
Yeah, those are
seismologists.
I follow, you know, I follow people like court reporters, right? Who are in like important cases. So you get the news first, you get it detailed, and you set up certain alerts for like whatever's going on, and you can get things. You know, you guys know you get a Dave alert. No, but I'm just saying you can set it up in a way that you are getting really important information that you're not going to get through the news. You can curate your own news.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. And like a lot of things that we're going to talk about on this podcast, the intention was good and it got into the muck because you know, it just didn't control how it's being used. It's there's once you give like the power to the masses, it just
there are now a little bit.
Well, I think what's interesting is that, you know, you have your user experience design and, you know, that's pretty basic and that's, you know, addressing your needs as a user, Dave. And it sounds like Twitter is able to meet those needs, which is interesting. And from a design perspective, you have those options. You can set it up the way that you want. But where it gets interesting is like on a more societal level. So users, you know, with a S apostrophe at the end, like the conglomerate, all of our hive minds, that's where the failing of Twitter is and all these social media platforms. So it's addressing your needs, but it's poison for the broader world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, totally.
Absolutely. Do you agree with that for Twitter?
I would agree with that for all of social media. I mean, you know, from TikTok, Facebook, they're all, it's easy to create a hive mind and it's easy to manipulate and control people more so than it was, you know, 150 years ago.
That's why debates have moderators. That's, you know,
that's why
groupthink is such a poisonous thing.
And you know, these things started with moderators, right? Like, I mean, all these chat rooms and stuff. Like, doesn't Reddit have moderation? Isn't there moderators that control? Or am I old?
Yeah, I mean, that used to be the thing. Like, you would join a specific.
Yeah, you can get kicked out if you don't follow the rules. Right. You get kicked out.
Yeah.
Well, there's
so
all.
This isn't new to the internet, so I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, I do think
now it's just a free for all chat room.
There's corporate governance. I think that corporate governance has a responsibility here to, you know, police their own boards and their own CEOs, and the role of a CEO is to inspire and to lead, but also to, you know, be accountable for the direction of a company and for what, you know, that impact is. And it should, if you're a social media platform, extend beyond the stock price, which in the Twitter's case has been miserable. So it's been a failing from a stock price perspective, and it's been a failing from a societal perspective.
Right. Well, I'd also like to know more about what's going on with the Facebook, you know, documents, because if, you know, it's like, oh, there's nothing we could do about it. And then you see documents to say there is something we can do about it. I think the same applies for Twitter, and I don't know specifically if that's true or not, but you know, we're led to believe like, oh, it's an open platform, it's an open forum, anybody can do. How are we going to control all of our users? And then you find out, oh, there's something they could have done. And then that's like,
yeah,
that's, well, Facebook is that, obviously that's like tobacco industry type level, you know, lying shit.
Well, yeah, I think the comparison between a tobacco industry and, you know, a Facebook or a Twitter is apt, because they are aware. They know that their product is poisonous. And, you know, in the case of the Facebook leak, and this is its own episode, so we won't get into it too much, is that, yes, the algorithm is the algorithm, but it is controlled by humans making decisions for monetization and monetary gain. So in the case of Facebook, you know, they're clearly aware that more reactionary content that's going to elicit a negative emotion from you, the user, is more valuable. Mm-hmm. And they weigh the algorithm to serve you up that content to have you engage more.
You know what?
Which is the definition of evil, in my opinion.
But we all decry that, but we all flock to it. Like, you know, everybody likes to talk about crappy movies being made, for example. But we all make the millions and millions of dollars. We all like to pretend that we vote for hope and change. But man, do we love disaster and fear. Well, I mean, it sells. It sells. I agree with you. I think there's a responsibility. But, you know, until people stop being people, what do you do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I left Facebook, but I'm still on Instagram. And, you know, that's the other half of the coin, right? So I can't, you know, claim innocence.
Did you leave Facebook to join Meta?
I left Facebook because it made me unhappy, and I really like took a look on, you know, on what my experience was. I was getting on Facebook, and again, gosh, we're going down a rabbit hole, but it's important.
Yeah, we are.
I was going on Facebook maybe 3 times a day, and every time I would leave more anxiety, you know, like, you know, be on Facebook for 7 minutes, 3 or 4 times a day, and I would leave slightly less happy than when I came on.
Right.
I'll give you the flip side of that. The only reason I'm still on Facebook, and I don't know if this works or not, but like, if I got rid of Facebook, does that get rid of Facebook Messenger? Because I actually use Messenger to keep in touch with friends that are in other countries. Because it's a free way to communicate with people. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Sure. Like and Joe, that does kind of dovetail into our topic of the day, which we'll get into, is about messaging platforms.
Chat. Hello.
But first, let's take a brief pause for a word from our sponsor. David, you're probably really stressing out right now, thinking about you need to spend dozens of hours going to the post office.
I am stressed, Brad. I am so stressed.
I
pull my hair out.
You know, we have all of our swag from this podcast that we have to, you know, ship to, you know, people who are buying
sweet
it.
Swag.
And thank you for that support, by the way. But it's a lot of effort and time
holiday
that you have
presents.
To spend, Dave, to ship all this. Holiday presents.
Absolutely.
Did you know
that
you do not need to go to the post office?
How? Tell me more.
Okay, I'll tell you a little bit more. Hey, sorry to interrupt our fake ad read. I thought it was going great. But if you're a real sponsor and like what you hear and want to contact our ad sales department, or if you're just a fan, visit ourpodsucks.com. That's ourpodsux.com to find out more. And by our ad sales department, I of course mean producer Joe. Ourpodsucks.com. Now back to the fake ad read currently in progress. .com. It's how I ship all of our swag from my other podcasts.
Yep. What? Are you moonlighting? Are you cheating?
Don't worry about
that. Wow.
But if you use the promo code SUCKS at checkout, you can get
also
up to $25 in free shipping. And Dave, you idiot, you do not need to go to the post office.
And we're back with today's big topic. And this is maybe the biggest one, at least for the three of us. I mean, maybe it's big to no one else, but definitely big to these three knuckleheads in this room, rooms. It's Google Messaging or Google Chats or GChat or Voice or
Allo
or whatever you want to call it or whatever they want to call it on any given day. Guys, let's open this up. Let's crack this open. I'll tell you what, the news. I don't know. The news cut. We gotta make the news funnier. I was a little bored. This CEO talking shit. Right. Let's get into things that make us annoyed, because that's
what the bread and butter of this podcast is all about.
That's where I live. That's where I live, guys. That is where I live. Brad,
on the edge of angst all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You are annoying, but also that is
I will not deny you that. I will be okay with that. But I am annoying because I'm annoyed. And that's why we're doing this podcast. This is to make me less annoying and less annoyed.
So you're saying that we should avoid the annoyed.
Wow, bringing it back. You know, I my son told me a story about the annoyed, that about all that, that somebody did something bad because of the annoyed. Do you know the story? This is not our topic, but this is great. And apparently they pulled the commercials. I don't know if that's true. I heard it from a teenager, but, you know,
David, I feel like you're dancing around this. You're saying that the Noid, the Domino's pizza mascot, the Noid from the late 80s and early 90s is responsible for Columbine?
Was it Columbine? No, I'm telling you, it was something like that. Like somebody went to Domino's headquarters. And I don't know if this is true. You know what? Send us a tweet. DM us. Well, don't.
I think that was Pizza Planet, where they had babies personal. In the basement or something.
Tell us if this is true. You know, listeners of the pod, Suxers. I don't know. We need a name for our. We still don't have a name for our fans. Listeners. Yeah, we need a fan name. You know, like what are the good fan names? Like Beliebers. You know, like that. Like we need a
The Suxtonisas.
Tweet us what you want to be. Suxtonisas.
Google messaging. Guys, this is a very personal topic for us because a little bit of a background. We've been friends for a long, long, long time. As time goes on and, you know, people have less free time and, you know, more stuff going on in their own lives, you know, we spent less personal time together in rooms hanging out over the years. But we're still extremely close. And we have used and we have used specifically and explicitly Google messaging over the past, I'd say, 10 years as our primary method of communication. So
almost on a daily basis.
Definitely
almost constantly,
like almost all throughout the day, there's probably maybe 100 on average messages between the three of us a day. And I don't think I'm exaggerating.
99 for me.
Yeah, that's true. But Google has been the constant through this entire time. And we have evolved our communications along with Google. And, you know, we have been experiencing the pain points that has been so apparent by Google not having a clear perspective or direction for what they're supposed to do with chat and with messaging.
And before you continue, Brad, Brad and I both have Pixels. We are big Google fans. We are super fans of you, Google, if you're listening. But you know what? This is tough love, Google. Okay. We need to tell you. Get your shit together. All right. Yeah.
So and just to lay it all on the line, I have an iPhone, but I've put Google, most of my apps on my iPhone are Google-based, Google Maps.
Interesting. Ah, okay.
You know, Chrome.
That's punk rock. Google That's Voice. So punk rock of you, Joe, going back to your roots.
Yeah.
I am a Google super fan. I am probably a lifelong Android user. I always stick with the vanilla ones, the Pixels most recently. I have Google Nest in my home. I've got the all of it. All of it is Google.
Brad was just telling us at breakfast the other day how sexy his Google 6 XL big large phone was. Yeah.
With the beveled screen.
Those are the words you used, right? Yeah. Sexy.
I do think it's a sexy phone, and it's maybe their first sexy phone, but here nor there. I am not
sexier than my OtterBox.
Google.
Wow, well, this is creepy. My phone just launched, it just opened up and said Google Pixel 6 XL could be coming, and I'm ready for it. Why is it waking up? I didn't say the words, the magic
it's listening,
words.
Dave, it's always listening.
Google 6 XL is already out.
Yeah, I know. That's an old article. Tom's Guide.
Very, very strange.
Props to Tom's Guide.
Breaking news, just to kind of date this podcast for the listener. Bob Dole just died. 95 years old. Bob Dole.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Interrupting you with some breaking news.
Some politics.
Meanwhile, Tony Bennett at 95 is opening up like Madison Square Garden or something recently. Like
he did a show with Lady Gaga, my close friend, Gaga. Lady Gaga. So Google messaging, this has been a 16-year ongoing nightmare and debacle that has really exhibited an astonishing lack of leadership for something that is so crucially important for one of its most important segments, mobile devices and Android, for the fact that they have not got their shit together over this entire time.
It's crazy.
is and
such a bad marriage.
All it really needs is a little bit of focus.
Drunk.
I mean, it has been 15 years, and 15 years ago, I mean, we had cross-device text messaging. Dave, you remember Trillion? I mean, we could do AOL.
Trillion was beautiful.
You could do like AOL, Yahoo, all the stuff right across the board.
Trillion was like, I don't give a shit about all these other app users. I'm going to just like integrate them, even though they don't want it. Right. And then they're gonna shut us down, and then we're gonna hack it and integrate again. Trillion, right. God bless you.
So, yeah. Dave, why don't you take us back to the beginning, 2005?
Way back. This is where we had sounds. Like that, right? Yeah. All right, I'm going back. Let's go back to Google Talk era. Yeah. From I guess AKA it's 2003, 2004. Gmail launches, right? Hmm. Yeah, and Google was brand new.
Was that Google engine. Plus? Was that Google Plus?
No. This is Google.
Oh, this is before that.
This is Gmail when it first launched, right? Everybody thought it was April Fool's joke that they're going to make some type of emails situation, but it was real. And then shortly after that, I guess, did we have chat in the Gmail at first? Because I think Google Talk launched.
Google right? Talk.
Okay. And I'm reading, by the way, I'm going to source here. The Verge has a great write-up on this. And we got a couple other sources, but this is the main one I'm using. Google Talk launches in 2005 in August, right? And this is when they started with instant messaging services and voice calls. Okay.
Now, to rewind all the way back then, we were using Instant Messenger. Most of us were using all America AOL? Online. AOL. Yeah.
I was using Trillion.
Nice.
Right.
Oh, not yet. I guess AOL was the first and only, yeah?
No, because there was a Yahoo chat and there was ICQ.
ICQ for sure.
And all the children just locked off the podcast.
We've lost anyone under 40 at this point.
Oh, okay. These guys are old. These are old people. This is old people chat. Okay. Hip kids. We're still hip. We know all the funky gadgets. We got them all.
Yeah. Don't worry. I just use WhatsApp now.
So at this time, I was using Instant Messenger really for friends and for work. Like, we were using it as a workplace communication tool, to chat around the office stuff like that. And it was, back then we didn't have any concept of things that were or were not safe for work. So it was pretty much the Wild West.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's keep on the timeline here. So 2007, Google Talk gets group chats. And then 2008, let's see, Android launches. Good, amazing time, right? Smartphones. And we've got Talk on there with SMS texting. Okay.
And same year, 2008, they roll out an iPhone app. So iPhone users can download a separate app to use GChat / Google Talk.
Nice. And also later in November, 2008, Google Talks added to Gmail. Okay. And that's, I don't know about you guys, but that's, my memory is terrible with most things, right? Mm-hmm. But all I remember for up until today, mostly, is having some chat feature to the left of Gmail. And then also having it on my phone. Now, what those things were called through all this, we're going to go through. But to me, the consistent user experience has been, I can chat both on my desktop when I'm at work, so I don't have to pull out my phone and, look like a slacker. I can actually just Slack, on my computer. Nobody knows. Nobody's the wiser. That's been the case for that's been the only consistent thing, is that I could do both of those things on my phone and on my computer.
That was the golden era, because honestly,
what's still here today?
You're in your inbox all day long. It's I'm like emailing and chatting, and it's all in one consistent.
And we'll get to the future because right now it's kind of the same, but it's a little confusing and annoying at the same time.
But what's amazing about what you just said, Dave, is that, to fast forward from where we were in 2005, 2008 to today, very little has changed. There's been a lot of like landmines and self-imposed landmines from Google that they've.
Yeah. Unforced.
It's only gotten worse. And I think that's kind of the point of what we're here to talk about. What sucks.
Right. Yeah.
2009. Google rolls out Google Voice.
Let's stop. Let's say we're in charge of this company. We have Google Talk. and we change it to Google Voice?
Nope. You'd think so. Different things, different products.
Oh, different products. But my point is, what's the distinction? Talking, right. Don't you talk with your voice?
Well,
why Google?
Branding fail. At a bare minimum, it's a branding.
Why? Okay, go continue. I didn't mean to interrupt here. Go ahead.
Google Voice, we actually have a Google Voice user here, Joe.
Ooh, they exist still.
They do.
Joe, what is Google Voice? Because
tell us, Uncle Joe.
This has always been confusing for me.
Yeah.
Well, going back to 2009, 10.
Paint the picture. What was happening in those years, Joe?
All right.
2009. Forget about Google. Tell me what's going on.
I had one phone, and then I needed another work line.
Yep. Yep.
And I didn't want to carry two phones. Mm. So I downloaded.
Who does?
So I downloaded. I ported my personal phone number to my work phone, downloaded Google Voice, and I can make calls on my phone through either number. I had one app, Google Voice, that could text, send SMS, MMS, make phone calls. It was all on my iPhone, which had a different phone number. Mm-hmm. And I could chat with you guys because with my Gmail account.
Yeah.
That personal phone number that I've had for 40 years was like now my Google identity. I could chat with you guys in Gmail. I could chat on the phone. I could make
calls. You have a phone, but you have two phone numbers within
yes.
the phone. You have your personal and your business line all in the same phone, and you're integrating that phone with Google Chat and functionality like that.
I think what's more consistent than Google Chat is the fact that I can never understand what Joe's talking about when he explains this.
I know. Well,
I don't think it's your fault, Joe. I just don't understand.
Was it an app? Did you have to download a Google Voice app, Joe?
Yeah. Okay. Does it still exist?
Yeah, I still use
Google Voice. You might be the last person in the world.
No, Brad, I think we both, did you do this? I did this. I actually have a Google Voice number. During the election, we were making phone calls. And
for Trump.
Not going to say who we're calling, not for Trump, but
check out our political podcast, which is not this podcast.
But we were making phone calls, and I think we were calling into Georgia, and I set up a Google Voice account to have a Georgia number so that people wouldn't see, LA, and not answer, right?
Right.
It's a common
trick. That we're liberal hippie.
Yeah. Well, I have it somewhere. I just don't know.
I was going to say, the weird thing about Google Voice is it's still routed through a server. So, if I was calling,
Joe,
514 number, it would say, dialing a 617 number to go to a 514 number.
The point is, it was a thing, and we have 100 of these to get through, so we need to go on. But Google Voice was confusing but useful to some, and some people still
use it. I think it makes sense to have, because it's voice over IP for free, right, Joe? You don't pay anything for it.
No.
I think it was more of a branding confusion.
Of course.
Branding and sort of rollout.
If you have Google Talk, they should have called it Google Chat, because chat and voice make two different sense. They're two different things. They make sense.
2009, they also roll out something called Google Wave.
And I see that on here. That's not a thing.
I think they made it happen. I've been following along every day of my life, and I've never heard of Google Wave.
I don't question your reporting. I don't know that. Oh, there's a video. Oh, there's a video of a preview, a developer preview.
Well.
All right. Okay. Well,
that's good podcasting.
So if we're going to talk about, and Brad, I know you want to move on, but if you really want to talk about user experience and how it sucks, which is what this podcast is all about.
Yeah. Saying the name of the thing, right?
I was going to say
who are you going to call?
If you're in, that's right. If you're in Gmail, we used to have that Hangouts and Chats box on the left.
Yeah.
It's not there anymore. Now
it is there.
But it's there. But
and
only for people who actually use Hangouts or whatever
But you can't use Hangouts anymore. That's why I don't know what's still there. Brad,
but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
No, it's not. Okay. Because I opened a new Gmail account. Hangouts popped up and it asked me to invite Brad to Hangouts.
To Hangouts?
Yes.
Recently?
And I invited you. Did you get it?
Oh.
Why?
And this is the other thing that Voice worked well with was it was a it was an SMS service. So like I could literally anybody with, I could just anybody with a phone number, like, whereas like, you know, iPhone, iMessenger, like you have to, you know, identify the user. It's like, I could just text message anybody with a phone number, just like old
this
text
is,
message.
This is getting really boring. We got to get it.
It is.
There's way too much. There's way too much. And that's kind of the point is that all
that is the point. That is the, it's like a smorgasbord, but it's like just a shit stew.
Okay. So I'll just tell you what to do. Like right now, go to a browser window, put voice.google.com, and you can actually.
I'm doing it.
Because that's now how I chat with you guys every day. Because I have a separate browser window open.
Oh, but you can just type in messages, and that's what I do. And then it's actually kind of great because you can scan, you know, because nobody can use it. You got to do the little barcode scan. Do you do that, Brad?
I bypass the barcode thing because I'm a Project Fi, a Google Fi user. Because there's an option.
I am too. There's an option to check it. This is important because this is three different people. Access the same thing. Let's get an iPhone user in here. How many different ways do you access your iPhone chat?
One, iMessenger.
Exactly. How was it in 2007 or whenever the hell they launched? One. I am not an Apple fan. The whole walled garden, all that stuff.
Sure.
But they get this right, and they've always gotten it right. They've got the chat, and they've got the FaceTime. And it to the point that when you want to go to call somebody, video call somebody, before it was Zoom, before Zoom was the verb, it was FaceTime. Even if you were using Facebook or your Android phone.
It was three FaceTime. Silos. It was the iMessenger. It was the talk. And then actually making a phone call on your phone.
All right. I think Brad wants to continue with it said, hi, David. How does Google Voice know me? That's interesting.
I didn't even know. Hi, David to me, nor hi, Brad. But interesting.
And I have a phone number.
There's something called Google Wave. Nobody knows what the hell that is. It was meant as an email replacement, but obviously it never caught on. It did start a trend, though, and this is important, where Google will launch products that could only talk to other users of the same product. So the success of some of these things that we're going to talk about, Google Wave, Google Duo, I think is another example.
Oh, jeez. That came out.
Rely upon me.
Which came out the same time as Allo, right? I mean, it was like,
Allo.
Hello.
Which, by the way, I meant to be my intro from now on. From now on, when we start the pod, it's going to be Allo.
Well, because, you know, so many people understand exactly what Google Allo is, they're all going to get the reference.
Right.
I'm being facetious. Nobody knows what the hell
it is.
It is
five British guys in a bar who get it.
Hello.
Google will launch these products as MVPs and then abandon them. And they're
NFTs?
MVPs, minimum viable products. That means like
look at the big brains on Brad.
Yeah. Minimum viable products.
I was like, Brad isn't a sports guy. You know, what the hell?
Now, as a brief aside, when we're getting into, product development, agile product development, you know, you're always trying to start with a minimum viable product, which you can then, what's the word I'm looking for? Iterate.
Iterate. Yes. Yeah, Look at you. with the UX terminology.
And this is very common. This is how it's done. This is how I do it in some of the things that I do in my personal and professional life. However, there's a dark side to agile development. And when it's impactful to a global audience at scale, and you have to make financial decisions based on products that you've already rolled out that might not be feasible, then you have to roll them back. It's creating a lot of friction and distrust. Yeah. And, you know, creating trust with a brand is the function of a brand.
You guys can't see this, but as Brad is describing this with his sexy hair, he is just really selling it. You're selling. We got to start the YouTube channel, Brad, in your silk pajamas and your hair. Our podcast listeners, I will often comment on Brad's, he is the sexiest man alive. Bradley Cooper was misnamed. It is our own Brad Combs. So
I think Paul
continue.
Rudd is the sexiest.
Paul Rudd is now the current
alive, which.
Oh, well, no. That's okay. That was a slip because Bradley Cooper is my sexiest man alive. Big crush.
Save that for our other podcast.
Pajama Hour with Brad and Dave. Silk pajamas.
Trust.
All right, good.
MVPs. Trust and branding. Yes. Is very important. And that's the crux
absolutely.
Of what
and I think I
Google's
broke our trust, Brad.
Is.
I just, I think I destroyed it. So Google Wave. All right.
Google Wave. So Google Wave only works with other Google Wave users, and nobody even knows what it does.
Just skip it. Apparently, it became Slack. Slack did it better.
Okay. Interesting.
Then in 2010, we get Google Buzz, which again, I don't think existed.
No, not a real thing.
These are like, Joe, these are like those comic books that you have that I made you buy that nobody knows exists, like the Compton Avengers or something. What are they called?
The West Coast Avengers with Squirrel. The West Coast
with Squirrel Girl. Marvel will make it. Disney will make a TV show.
Oh no! I'm sorry. The Great Lakes Avengers.
The Great Lakes Avengers. Yeah, exactly. Nobody knew these existed. They're a real thing.
That's not a real thing. Yeah, Google Buzz is not a real thing. I couldn't even tell you guys what Google Buzz is, and it doesn't matter. In 2013,
we're going to cut all this.
In 2013, this is a milestone. They roll out Google Hangouts. They roll it out, and very quickly, it's immediately apparent that this is the greatest messaging service ever. They have fixed it.
Yes.
It was already a problem in 2013, and then they roll out Hangouts, and it is fixed.
There it is. Oh, there they are. By the way, Brad skipped a lot to get to 2013.
For sure.
On my timeline, I have a whole bunch of other things going on. Google Voice getting integrated into Gmail. Google adds chats to Google Docs. Not a terrible thing. I mean, we want to be able to chat. That's actually important. And we still use that in all the apps we have today, chatting while you work.
For sure.
Live video chat to Android. Google Plus launched. How do you skip? Let's pause here. Yeah,
I skipped Google Plus.
And let me pour a 40 for our fallen here. Because, you know, Google Plus, I kind of dug it for one reason, right?
It wasn't
Facebook. The thing I hate about Facebook, it wasn't Facebook, but the thing I hate about Facebook is you are just shitting out into the metaverse. Everything on your mind. So like that one person from high school that you couldn't stand that you just said, okay, you'll be my friend. You now knows everything that every recital your daughter goes to, every political belief you have, every surgery on your kneecap. They know everything, right?
Well, if you share it.
Well, no, of course, but you're going to share because we're all, we're all self-obsessed pricks, right? So we're going to throw our shit into the universe. So, but Google Plus allowed you to create these little groups, right? And I think Facebook,
I remember
that you had your circles. And I was like, this is brilliant. This is a genius concept.
Now, Dave, can I pause for a second here?
Pause.
Because the circles had one very, very useful purpose where you could have different fidelities of filthiness. Or appropriateness.
That should be a new podcast. Fidelities of filthiness, right? That is the episode name.
If Facebook is PG, it has to be PG because there's everyone in the world can see it. Google Plus allowed these circles that I could have a group with you guys where it could be R-rated or NC-17 and keep that completely siloed, which was important but confusing for the mass population, right? Like if you're a power user and you understand what this works and you have concerns about what you say and where you say it, great and useful, but for the broad populace, probably over their heads.
I don't think so. I think that would have saved us from a lot of the trauma of the past decade, right? Because think about it, if your crazy aunt and uncle or grandparents who are sending remember when they used to send those emails, those political weird conspiracy theory emails to everybody, right? Over email, then it went to Facebook. If Facebook had circles, they might just send it to like-minded people. They might have been embarrassed. That might have been the time where people stayed embarrassed. Because remember, people used to walk around when we take pictures of each other, right? Of ourselves, selfies when they first came out. I don't know about you guys. We're old enough to remember that being a little embarrassing and self-obsessed. And I remember specifically.
And now it's a multi-million-dollar business.
We were going to a movie, and this was recently. This is in the past 5 years. We're walking across the street. The moon was really big. It was Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset somewhere, and we're like, ooh, this is a cool picture. And we took a picture in the middle of the road. Do you guys remember this? And I remember feeling really embarrassed by doing it and like looking around. And then I saw somebody 20 years younger than me, just like completely making love to their phone. Just snap, 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 snap. So I think with the circles, it might have prevented some of this because we talk about society here, right? It might have prevented some of the societal damage because it would have trained people to know there's shit you say to your close friends and there's shit you say to your broader audience.
Oh, man. That's brilliant. I think you're absolutely right.
Right.
And that just makes me even more angry at Google because they were not able to
screw the pooch.
Yeah, to communicate, you know, what it was trying to do, Google. Or to be effective or impactful for, you know, it's just...
Don't be evil. It used to be
I guess what
brand.
We're saying is like, well, I guess they what we're saying is it. Like, Google's responsible for Trump. I think that's what we're saying. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Pretty much. I think Facebook and we put it on Jack, but it's not. It's Google. Google, it's you. So we have the DeLorean. We need to go back to 2011. Are you coming with me, Marty? You got to go back to 2011 and make Google Plus the most popular.
We need to. Absolutely. We all need to be on Google Plus and using our Zunes to listen to music.
Do you know what this means? It means that this damn circle doesn't work.
Okay.
All right.
Brilliant.
Back to my speakers talking to me. I don't know what's going on. These devices are just rebelling. All right. So let's go to the best thing they ever did, which was Hangouts. Which
bar none.
Which we fought. They tried to take it away from us like for years and we kept using it.
Yes. So this group, the three of us, used Hangouts for years, probably 5 years.
Still on my phone.
I just recently removed it from my device and it was screaming. The death of Hangouts was long rumored. I think that they started talking about, you know, deprecating Hangouts in service of, is it Allo or something really weird?
Allo came and went. Allo's gone.
But
Google Chat is a thing now.
We're missing a few steps. We're missing a few steps, though.
They threatened to get rid of it when they introduced the combination of Duo and Allo, if I remember.
Mm-hmm. I think that was it. There was Duo and there was Allo, and this was supposed to be the replacement for Hangouts, and I don't even really understand why or how that would have worked.
Right. Why get rid of something that works and introduce two different things?
Why bifurcate something?
Right.
Exactly.
Unnecessarily. Everything is merging. Everything is merging. Why would you separate the two?
Because it was supposed to be Allo for chat and then Duo for video.
But why? When it was both
Hangouts already did that. It was so infuriating.
So weird.
So infuriating. And we fought it. We fought it for years.
And this comes to a point. We're going to talk about our unicorns at the end. We're going to talk about a good user experience for just a split second because I don't like praising. Yeah. Nobody does. And I'll get into that. How you as a user can make a difference, because I am one of these who fights. Sure. You got to fight for what you love and what you think, and don't, you know, we'll get into that. But
Duo still exists, but Allo, I don't think that's a thing.
Allo is gone, which is bizarre. It doesn't make any sense.
So
let's go back here. So we've got, we got Hangouts, and this is the golden age, right? Mm-hmm. Starts around 2012, and it goes until I don't know, Tuesday? It seems like, you know, 2020, 2021 is all one day. So it just happened. But it was great because it just allowed us to do everything everywhere, which is what you want. You want it on your phone, you want it on your computer, you want it on your
iPad, your
iPad, but it's not an iPad.
Tablets.
See, what is Google Tablet? Yeah, you want it everywhere. You know, you want it
on your Oculus device.
You want it on your speakers, you want it on your TV. And that's the key. And I don't understand. Google is smarter than this. This is why I think they're just trolling us. Mm-hmm. I think they're just like, there's somebody in that department and we need to find out their name. And they are just, they're just an asshole. And they love it. They love fucking with us.
Well, this gets to sort of the end of this conversation, or at least hinting towards it. Like, I disagree with you, Dave, that there is one person. If there was one Wizard of Oz who is controlling all this, there would at least be a direction. I think what's probably happening is that they have different divisions with a head of each, and they're competing against each other. But why? So that's a lack of leadership at the very top. And smarter people than us will know that the names of these people, because they're out there. Yeah. I see their people.
Yeah.
You know,
they're listening. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm sure
they want to come onto the pods. Just message us. We'll bring you on to talk about this.
But this lack of fundamental leadership at the top, you know, to have a direction as, you know, as the head of Google, you know.
I love that you think the Wizard of Oz was a smart man. I mean, the emperor had no clothes in that. I think that's the case with a lot of these companies.
Yeah.
You've been in big companies. I've been in big companies. And it tends when you think they all got it together. You know, it's not 100% true. They're making it up as they go along too. You know, this
Absolutely.
Is all.
I mean, is this a result of the break stuff and then you know, move on. Yeah,
there is culture. That whole philosophy. Iterate, improve.
Exactly. It feels like they're just trying anything without like, and now there's no ultimate goal.
And they buy
it's just
companies
like,
and they're it's like oh, let's this will just, be cool.
This will be cool. Let's try it. And, you know, oh, WhatsApp's doing that. Let's keep up. Or like WeChat's doing that. Let's keep up. Oh, look what they're doing in China. Look what they're doing in India.
Absolutely.
It's just like, oh, you're absolutely right.
And I think that's the failing is like, you know, that is appropriate and that is good for a large number of product driven companies. But when you're at scale and you're dealing with people who are using these things every day, millions of users, you're just confusing them. You need to get it right.
Especially if you're launching a phone, right? The Pixel has not picked up, right, Brad? They're hoping the 6 is the winner, but it hasn't picked up. And I'll tell you what, Google, the reason it hasn't picked up is you don't have a FaceTime. Mm-hmm. Like, what do people love about Apple products? They're simple to use, right? I am not a fan of the simple to use. I like to customize. I like to beta test stuff. I love that shit. I love getting my hands dirty in code and computing and customization. But if you're trying to go big, if you're trying to compete with the iPhone, give us one thing. Give us the chat. Give us the video. Make it simple. I don't know why this is hard. And I love that, like, the Verge article calls it the Google Allo error. Like, we just skipped over it because it was that unimportant.
It wasn't an era at all.
It was 3 years, right?
And it was year of building up to it, then another year of trying to get people to adopt it, and then a year of
then
just
shutting
winding
it down.
Phasing it out.
Yeah. I think we remember Google Plus more than we remember Google Allo.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So apparently, let's skip ahead. So April 2020, when the world ended, Google decides, oh, what a great time to launch GChat, which is what we've all been calling it this entire time before we got Hangouts to become stuck in our brains. We called it, remember when it just popped up on the left there? You know, we called it GChat. Hey, I'm going to GChat you, right? So now they're finally calling it Google Chat. And here I am, a super user, right, Brad? Mm-hmm. You said you knew this. You knew about Google Chat. But I was like, I think I remember that being a thing when Allo was still around and Hangouts was still there. All three were here. And I just looked on Google Play this morning, right? So we're talking, what, a year or so after it launched, a year and a half after it launched. Mm-hmm. And I, as a super user of Google, had to go to Google Play Store, which is a terrible name, by the way. It's a whole other episode.
Yes.
So I had to go to Google Play Store and I'm like, oh, look, Google Chat. I'm going to install this. I don't know what it's going to do, if it's going to complicate my life. But why? Like, right now, we have messages, right?
Yes.
And you have to scan your phone to get on there, or you can check the box and say, stay here. But I don't like to. I like to keep, you know, because I use different laptops and whatnot. But messages is fine. It's fine. It's almost like Hangouts, right? Can you make a call for messages? I don't know that you can.
You can desktop, for sure.
Oh, you can. Okay. So why? Why then, if you're going to do messages, why am I also using Google Chat?
So,
what is the upside to chat?
Well, I can answer that, with a bit of a non-answer. The upside to chat is that it does integrate with Gmail. So chat
integrates. Hold on. Let me let them talk for themselves, because as a new user today, this is great. This is happenstance. We didn't plan this. This was not produced at all. Yeah. This is actually happening in real time.
Okay.
I am a new user of Google Chat. The window pops up and says, with chat, you can connect and collaborate together with your group. Okay. Coming from Hangouts, learn more. Link about how your conversations are coming to chat. Okay, so they're trying to merge the two, but forgetting about messages as if that doesn't exist right now.
Exactly.
And this is the problem.
It's bizarre.
I'm going to click learn more, and I'm not going to bore us with it right now unless I find anything interesting.
Well, while you're doing that, here's the actual use case, the pain point in practice. That's what's happening is, like, I am getting some messages from groups on chat. I'm getting other messages on Google Messages, right? Why? And then there was Hangouts, right? That was a whole other thing. And, you know, that still technically exists, but I did eventually rip the Band-Aid off and delete it. That made things slightly less complicated. But still, I've got a couple of friends who are messaging me, and it's not appearing on my phone, but it is appearing on my desktop in my Gmail window. And that is such
a bullshit. Did I do a bad thing by installing this damn thing?
You probably overcomplicated it again, or they have on your
behalf. Last thing I have is from 2019. We've lost Joe. I feel we'll have more of this. Ha ha. Which seems like I wrote that last chat, which must have been from Hangouts, which is now in Google Chat.
Oh, well.
For this podcast.
I just texted you guys a screenshot of my chat window in Gmail, and there's three different Dave Brad conversations, which if you recall, there was times where it was like, was this the conversation from like years ago, or is this the one that's like on Hangouts only, or is this
I'm going to text you right now from Google Chat. This is my first text. It's to both of you.
Okay.
I'm going to send you in all caps, hello.
Go for it.
Here we go. Hello. Tell me where it arrives. What happens?
Okay.
I am super curious as to what occurred.
It actually just popped up. Oh, history is on. It actually just popped up.
Is it in voice? Is it in messages? Is it in chat? Is it in Hangouts? It's
in Gmail, actually.
It's in Gmail? What? This is the meat and potatoes of this entire episode. I'm sorry. I'm popping here. I'm getting excited.
But it did not show up on voice, but it did show up in chats in my left screen of
Gmail.
And just to make it even more pronounced of a problem, I didn't get anything anywhere. People are missing crucial information. Like, obviously, the three of us are a bunch of bozos and we have nothing important to say to each other. But there are people who are communicating real information that people need to know. It's getting lost because of all this bullshit.
Right? Yeah, I just opened. I had no idea Google Voice had a chat function. I've got like four chats in there. One of them is a GIF of Michael Scott saying, "That's what she said."
It's probably been in there for a while. Any Monica Lewinsky jokes?
Oh, that's August 22nd, 2020. I didn't know.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't know. And then I said, "Rip Max, who's Max?"
And oddly, it's the Google Voice browser window that I end up using to chat with you guys every day. So it's like,
I didn't get this in messages. So you didn't get anything, Joe, respond to it. I want to see where I get this.
I just did.
Oh, hi, Dave. Allo. Hi, Dave. I only got it in Google Chat. Didn't get it anywhere else. Now I'm going to message you guys in messages. This is fucking brilliant. I love this. I'm going to type.
So well for audio.
Plus one.
Users.
I'm going to type plus one.
Breaking news. I booted up chat.google.com, which I don't use.
Oh, that's a thing.
And here it is. I see, hi, Dave. I see, hello. I see, hi, Dave.
Okay.
Whoa, Joe broke through Hangouts. How'd you do it?
Oh, that was from like a year ago.
That was from May 28th.
Where did you guys get plus one? I just sent it through messages. Did you get it in messages?
I got it in messages.
But not in voice.
I got it in voice.google browser window.
What?
Oh, God.
How?
Well, listeners.
Okay, wait. I'm going to send a message to you guys through voice.
Hold on. And then we've already proven our point, so we do need to move on.
Yes.
I don't think we do. I think we should just start the episode here.
All right. You know what? Scrap all this. We'll start again.
I'm going to say, what else should I call it here? Wave. Was that a thing? I'm going to call it Wave. I'm waving. And I sent that through voice. Joe, where'd you get it?
I got nothing.
Did you get anywhere?
Through Wave?
No, I called.
Oh, wait.
I wish I'd Wave. I sent it through Google Voice Chat.
I just got a strange text number from a bizarre phone number from a group that I've never seen.
470?
Yeah, it says Wave.
Where did you get that on? Where did you receive it? Chat?
I got it.
Messages?
I got it. Okay, this is interesting. I got it on my phone on messages, but not on desktop messages.
Yes, I got it on my phone.
This should make our friggin' podcast.
This is why our podcast is called SUX Sucks. Yes. Because this effing sucks.
and I'll tell you guys another thing. What's really crazy is using that voice browser that I've been mentioning the whole time. Mm. Literally freezes my entire like Google browser. Yeah. So I got to like reload and refresh page.
Joe, you are the voice user. You're the only person I would send a chat over for voice. Did you get it on voice?
Well, I'm refreshing it right now because froze.
That is hilarious. So basically to wrap this up.
Yeah, Wave. I got the
wave. Okay. To wrap this up, Google, what the fuck? Like, get your shit together. I don't care. And we haven't even gotten into like RCS, SMS, new standards. We didn't get into any of that shit. Like I don't care. As a user, I don't care. You want to make it more secure? Fine. What I want it is to be more consistent. Okay. Right. I want an iPhone experience in this realm. This is the only realm of iPhone-iness I want with Google. I want to be able to chat you guys and video you guys on all my devices with one flipping app.
Oh, we can get into that too, because it's funny that you mentioned Zune. I used to remember having an MP3 player, Zune. Plugged it in, just drag and drop music to it, and I was done. When iTunes got so big and overbearing, where it was like, is it the Apple Store? Is it iTunes? Does it sort my computer? Does it? At some point, iTunes got so unwieldy and too complicated, and the sync process got so bad, it was like, you know what? Let's just do five different things. So that's one place where, you know, I love just having like a device I plugged in. I was like, I went to my music library, grabbed stuff, just drugged it, dropped
it. This is going to be a funny part where we just play, start playing the music. The Oscar music, because you're like, you're all of a sudden talking about Zoom.
No. Well, you mentioned it. No, it made me think about how like, the progress from there to, you know, how it got really bad.
Back to the timeline, just to wrap this up.
Yes, please.
We didn't even get into Hangouts Meet.
Right.
Okay. We didn't get to Rooms and Spaces. Like, I don't understand why Google is like, because, okay, they're trying to compete with Zoom and whatever. I get it. But I don't understand why they are why they're trying to differentiate between a group chat and a solo chat. Like, well, and if you want to have a business case, right? If you want to be like business oriented, right? Like, say, okay, this Meet is for businesses. It's going to compete with Zoom. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. That's a separate thing in and of itself, but it's integrated. It should be integrated somehow where I'm not confused, right? Mm-hmm. So call it Google Meet Pro or Google Meet Business, or you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Add a little subtitle, but it's still the larger thing. Like, if Facebook wanted, Facebook's not getting into this at all. I mean, not Facebook. Right. Apple's not getting into it at all. But if, say, they did, they wouldn't call it FaceTime, like make up a new thing. They'd call it FaceTime for Business,
right?
Or FaceTime Pro, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you do. I don't understand. Oh, God. I'm just. For Google, we love you. We love you. I have all your speakers. I have the stick. It's collecting dust. I don't really use it except when I buy movies from the polls that I do for you, which, you know, pay me some money here and there on the side. I don't know if you guys do that. Surveys. I do that through Google. I love you. Super user. Brad has the sexy phone to match his sexy pajamas. We love you. Just fix this. Yeah.
Stop fucking around. There's some original sin, and this is the last thing that I think that we should say on this.
Yeah.
A lot of this probably comes from original sin of not designing correctly in the first place. Yes. For example, the real reason that it's a little boring that they're deprecating Hangouts is because it's not safe. It's not secure. Mm-hmm. Because frankly, that's not important to Google. It never has been, right? Had it been important, they would have designed it from the start. But the fact that they designed this unsafe, unsecure platform, now it was wildly successful and useful. Yep. And then they had to rewind it. They had to wind it all back because it wasn't built safely in the first place, because it's not a core value of Google to do that. Ruined by initial original design and original.
I did not know that security is a reason. You think security is a driver for all this stuff?
I do. MMS is more secure than SMS.
RCS is the one, right? Is that RCS?
But to make it even more complicated, I don't think that's the.
No, MMS is just images and stuff. RCS is the secure thing.
I think if you guys recall back to early Gmail, there was like a million things on Google Labs that you could plug in and do. They just experimented. It was that move,
which I love. Break. I love that about Google. I love that I click that little hamburger icon and it gives me all of their items. Like, I think that's cool, and I love exploring. But there are core things you expect from your phone.
But it was that thing where desktop. It was like move fast, break stuff. That was that wasn't their policy, but I get.
That's Silicon Valley policy, apparently, right?
Well, yeah, and that's fine for Silicon Valley, but again, it's not fine when you're dealing with millions of users around the entire world. So, there's more Android users than there are Apple users for mobile devices globally.
There are, much to my daughter's chagrin.
Substantially more.
She swears that Apple is the universe, but you are right.
In this case,
Android, but Android is everywhere, and they owe us a responsibility. to get this right. And we haven't even talked about all the chatting apps, the bloatware that you get with other phones, right?
Oh gosh,
I'm sure like Samsung
for another day. Yeah,
I'm sure they all have their own chatting services that you could add on and third parties. And sorry, I think we did this justice, especially by the demo.
To our listeners, if this has been, confusing and frustrating to listen to, that is the point.
And we want to hear your stories. Show. We want to hear your stories. So go ahead and send us your horror stories about Google. Share with us on the on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever we live. And, thanks for listening today.
Let's wrap it up with a moment of Zen. Does anyone have a good user experience? Oh, we can't do that. Is that
we'll call it a unicorn. We'll call it our unicorn moment.
Unicorn moment.
Okay. Let's ride the unicorn, right, fellas.
Well, we can work that out a little bit. All good. Who has a good...
Unicorns make horse noises with a unicorn. I feel like a unicorn would be like, blah, 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 like that, right? I feel like we need a noise here. It's like pixie dust sound, like horse.
We'll put in a unicorn. I'll find a real unicorn and record it, and we'll put it in.
Okay, that works. So unicorn moment. What do you got, Brad?
Oh, man. You're going to ask me?
Yeah, I don't have shit.
Oh, gosh.
I'm the complainer. I am the chief complainer. What do you got, Joe? You got something? Something good?
I would say this is going to be my point on a lot of this stuff is.
No. You just got to give us a thing.
Figure out what works for you and just use that.
Good advice.
Yes. Horse and buggy.
Sage what wisdom. So I've been using an app called Discogs.
And I'll
use that as my unicorn moment this week. Discogs is an app that lets me track my vinyl record collection, add things to a wish list, and it also lets me understand the value of my vinyl collection. So I catalog all my records, and based on real market price, what they're going for, it'll calculate like how much my record collection is worth. So it works pretty well, and it's slightly addictive. So
what's the good user experience there, Brad? Is it just the whole thing, or is there a specific piece of the app that works really well? Because I actually have one now that you've started talking about that I use every day.
And I have one too, but I think it's a whole other conversation.
Cool. Well, the from a design perspective, it shows me it's well laid out. It's well designed. There's a lot of options. It's a powerful app, but it serves me like sort of my holistic overview of my collection first, and the value and my wish list, and it's well curated. And if anyone has a vinyl collection, I recommend using it.
Dave. All right. I got one, but I'm going to talk more about we as users using our voice and our purchasing power to make a difference. But I'm going to hold that. I'm just going to say this is really simple. 24-Hour Fitness has a great app to check in during COVID. I don't know why. Like, I was a very late adopter to like scanning my finger and all this stuff Like the whole, what do you call that? Biohaptic something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they have a thing where you check into the club, you hit the button, you confirm your health check. There's one extra click, but that's fine. Confirm and check in. And then there's a barcode. I scan it. We're done. The one drawback, the one thing I will say they need to change, stop throwing an ad in the middle of that process. Cause normally I'm putting on a mask, got my water bottle. I can't click off your member account.
That same kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of people do it now. I think it's an example of anytime you use a QR, like a barcode to like sign into something or pay for something. Mm-hmm. I think that's good user experience and I love it.
Yeah, for sure. Tangent, I have been using, Tap Pay, using Google Pay.
Oh, I started using that recently.
And it's kind of addictive.
It's brilliant. I was going to the gym the other day to tie these two things together. I was going to the gym.
Yeah.
My wife wanted a coffee creamer.
Yeah.
And it was one of these things. I was like, I'm not going to bring my wallet. And I was like, wait a minute. I have my Google Pay. I had to think, do they use it there? I'm like, I think they do.
They pretty much use it everywhere now.
Yeah, and so I did it.
That snuck up on me. And it's so addictive.
Yeah, and you just tap it. I would like them to ask for my fingerprint. They didn't ask for that, which I was like, so somebody could get my phone and then buy shit. I don't like
that's
that.
That's a setting. Yeah. You can set that up.
Is it? Okay, all right. But it's perfect.
What I really like about it, Dave, is the little vibrate feature.
I know
it's
you do. Bro.
Very satisfying.
I know you do.
You know how I feel about it.
You know what you need to do? You need to go with those pajamas and use your Google Pay and vibrate.
You know what? We might need to move this to our Google Plus.
Oh, our Fidelity of Filthiness, Brad.
Fidelity of Filthiness. It's also our new band name.
Well, I'll give this for
what do you
a
got,
topic.
Joe? What do you got?
Well, I was going to say, I did just start using, gave it a test run, crypto.com. The actual website or the actual app is really good, and the security is good.
This is your unicorn? I thought you were complaining about it.
No, no, I'm not. I mean, yeah, the fact that I made $60 in a day and then lost $60 the next day, that's...
Early on, you were complaining about not being able to fund it.
Oh, after it started working, I think it was just a...
Okay, okay. So it's a good crypto.com. Crypto, yeah. What is it? What's the app?
Crypto.com is the app. And the security is just, I have a PIN code, but I think we should, you know,
for our listeners, what is that PIN code, Joe?
All right. On that note, I want to thank.
I think crypto and NFTs and all that stuff is a good topic for next time. That's why I said
absolutely.
It's a whole
other discussion. We have so many topics. So many topics, Brad.
Well, anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening to today's Sucks podcast, brought to you by Crypto.com. We are wishing you health, a well-designed life, and good experiences.
Amen.
Be well.